All right, so today we're going to talk about faith. We talk about faith a lot. But yet we seem to always find different ways that we can talk about it. And we know that it is the building block, the foundation of having a relationship with God. And let's start off today and let's look up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now God wants us to have a strong faith. And we see all throughout the Word of God, we see many examples where people fall out of faith. They don't have strong enough faith. Their faith is so little that they can't accomplish what they need to accomplish. And we also see many examples when people's faith is strong. Sometimes it almost seems like it's just I won't say a surprise, but it's just a delight when we've seen Jesus talk about it. I have never seen such faith. Those were the kinds of things he would say because they were doing what he wants and have us to have bold, strong faith. Now, what we don't want to do is we don't want to put God in a box. We don't want to limit what he can do because theoretically, God can do anything power-wise. Now, I stopped that there because many people just say that God can do anything. But in reality, we're studying the Word. We're trying to find the absolute truth. So we need to know all of the truths. So just because God can do anything doesn't mean that he does because he set out guidelines for himself, for us, and how things work. And he doesn't violate these guidelines. We have to ask him to come into our lives. He doesn't force himself upon us. He could do that, but he chooses not to. When he forgives us of our sin, he chooses not to look upon it. He chooses not to bring it back up. He chooses not to remember it. These are choices God makes. Not because he can't, but because he chooses to. So we need to have bold faith. We see the power. We've seen all the miracles that Jesus had done during his ministry. He walks on water. He feeds 5,000 plus people with just a couple pieces of fish, a boy's lunch. He heals the sick. He restores the dead to life. All of these grand things that Jesus does. That is showing the power of God and what he can do. And we need to believe that God can take care of each and every situation that we're involved in. Now, another thing that the Word tells us is to beware of false prophets. And that's another thing that we talk about quite often because in today's modern society, we have so much information being flooded to us. And we have the tendency to take the easy way and just simply listen to someone and not do our own homework, not do our own research. And just, if it sounds good, we believe it. And even our own selves can be a false prophet to ourselves, meaning that we hear things or we develop some sort of a theory or an ideology in our minds, and we apply that to our lives and really don't know why. There are many times we believe strongly on a certain subject and have real no foundation in it. It's just something that we have developed. So in a way, we have become our own false prophets. That's why it is so important to study the Word. It is so important to study the Word. we have to use the Word of God as a filter to run everything through. It is our only basis of truth. It is the only thing we can use as a standard. And if it doesn't meet that standard, then it doesn't work in our lives. James 2 and 14. What doeth profit, my brethren, for if a man has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now there's tons of Bible verses that talk about works and faith, and the two coinciding. And let me give you a synopsis of how it works. So a lot of people, even from the very beginning, they wanted to prove themselves to God based upon what they can do. And for many of them, they're going to stand up before God and say, hey, I've cast out demons, I have healed the sick, I have done all of these things. And God's still going to look at them and say, I know you're not. And the reason is, even though they've done all these things in the name of the Lord, they yet to have faith. They yet to truly believe. And then we can be saved. We can have salvation by believing. All we have to do is truly believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. So what is all this talk about works? Well, if we look at any point, any person, any situation, there's two things that coincide. It is faith and then action. God told Abraham, go. He told Moses to go. And if we look at different things, whenever they needed water, what did they do? We had to go to the rock, give it a little tap. There was an action involved. When they needed the walls of Jericho to come down, what did they do? Marched around it. Holding up the staff, stopped the sun. There was a need, a faith, and an action. So what does that have to do with works? When we allow Jesus to come into our hearts, when we make that transition in life, there is a change that takes place. We are not the same creature that we were before. We are something new. And with that change, there should be a change in your lifestyle. And the works should be a fruit of that change. You're the tree. Jesus comes in. That's the water, the fertilizer, the pollination, and then fruit blooms. And we should want to help our fellow man. We should want to be loving. We should want to be generous. We should be wanting to do all these things that was very much Christ-like, to help our fellow brethren, to further the kingdom of heaven. These are all things that we should want to do as a change. So one has to really question themselves if you are not wanting to do these things, if you have not felt that transition, do you truly have faith? And that's something that only yourself and God can answer. But it's an outward showing. Jesus didn't have to get baptized, but he did, because it was an example and it was an outward showing. It was by faith. He was showing the people how he felt, and was being an example for everyone else. And that's why we do it today. Baptism doesn't affect your salvation one bit. And if you don't get it done, doesn't mean it's going to keep you out of heaven. What we're doing is we are showing our friends, our family, our church congregation, we are making an outward showing. It is a statement. It is an action. When we stand up in church to become husband and wife, that ceremony is not needed. It's what it represents. It's an outward showing that two people are coming together in love and with God to form a new union. It's an outward showing. It's an action. Situation, faith, action. So, when we have all the garbage that we're faced with each and every day, and we're not doing what we need to be doing to have a strong foundation in the Word of God, it's very easy to get confused, get in the wrong direction. And so every morning when we're taking the boys to school, we listen to a radio show, and there's different people on there, and they do different things and different bits, and there's comedy, and there's news, and different stories and whatnot on there. And they did a news story about a woman who was a regular churchgoer, and she went to church and felt like she needed to play the lottery, and she won. So it was kind of a twofold story. You know, I am all about giving props to God any way, shape, or form you can. God does not get enough credit, and he needs it any way he can get it possible. But, and there's the but, the negative part of this whole is that when you are presenting God in a way that he doesn't function, you are setting the stage for massive disappointment. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, God wants us to have the desires of our hearts. He wants us to have good fortune and all of these things. Now, I guess we'll have to talk about it sometime in the near future. We've talked about it in the past, is that the way God is structured, he wouldn't use his influence over something that is completely and totally man-made, like the lottery. Furthermore, he would not bless you through a sin. And what do I mean by that? At the root, the lottery is a form of gambling. You are playing the odds, and the odds are grossly not in your favor. And throughout the Word of God, he wants us to be good stewards of what we have, including our money. So gambling as a way to further that money would not be a godly way to do it, because you're being foolish with it. The chances of you losing far outweigh the chances of winning. And let's face it, it's not a retirement plan. It's not a way that we can invest to get out of a financial issue. The only reason that we do these things is for the dopamine rush that it gives us. For those moments leading up, you get to fantasize about how money can change your life, that if you was to win, how things would be different. And you get this big bubble of hope, and you get to think about that, and you get to bask in these thoughts, and that's why we do it. That's why we do it. And we read about the people that do, and we say, well, somebody has to do it. Why can't it be me? So, one of the radio personalities is absolutely obsessed with becoming rich. And he has been known as a non-religious person. But because of this story, he was willing to go to church and to pray to win. That he thought, well, if it happened for this person, maybe it would happen for them too. Can you guys see any problems with that that's developing? So if you're going to church and you're the only motivation that you have is because of what you can get, is that faith? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And not just this. You know, I've been doing this for a while, and I've seen this on a local scale, that you have someone that's got a problem. So what we do when we have a problem, we try to fix everything ourselves. And when all that fails, then we finally turn to God because we have no other thing to do. So they come walking through the church doors. And they're seeking refuge and they're seeking prayer. And they hang with it for a little bit until the problem resolves. And then they're gone again. Is that faith? Absolutely not. Faith is something that is continual. Faith is something that is there when you don't need it, when you're not requesting something. So many of us treat God as an as-needed being. He's in the Rolodex just like the doctor, the lawyer, the policeman. Well, none of that works, so let me go to God. And then as soon as we're done with him, we put his number back in the Rolodex. Well, I'm really dating myself talking about a Rolodex. We put the number back in the phone contacts, and we forget about him till the next time we need him again. That's not faith. That is not faith. And then we have a false idea about how faith works. So there was this young couple, and one of them was working, one of them was not, and then the one that was working lost their job, and they got behind on their rent, and they was seeking help. And of course, they proclaim to be believers. And they said they had faith. And they were praying for something. They were praying for something very specific. And it's good to be specific when we pray to God. You know, we need to really dial it in. But they were praying for a bag of money to show up in their mailbox. That was going to alleviate all their problems. And again, do we see any problems with that? Now, first of all, not the way God works. Could he? Yes. But he would much rather give you a sustainable source than something completely random that's going to be used up in a matter of moments. There was also no action. They was given opportunities. Here, go try this out. Go try this. This is something you can go do. You can earn this way. But all of that was turned down. Nah, we're waiting on this. Where's your action? We have to meet God halfway. Now, we don't always get halfway there, but we at least have to put forth the effort. We can't put God in a box and say, look, this is the only way I'm going to accept your help. This is the only viable outcome. It doesn't work that way. We can't box him in. Because he has ways that we haven't even seen. So that didn't work. And they became angry because when you're not paying your bills, things start to stack up and people need their money. So they're starting to get angry because they're wanting this certain thing. God is doing a certain thing and it's not happening. And it's everybody else's fault. Well, eventually they got evicted and moved on. And wonder how that turned out. Wonder what their relationship with God looks like today. Because they threw everything they had into a false belief that could be really worked out very simply. And that's what we have to do when we have to check our faith. First of all, make sure that we have it, and then make sure it's not a false faith. That it's a true godly faith. And how do we do that? Well, we look at the Word of God. God tells us everything that we need to know. So we look in there, and first of all, we have to know that if it's God's will. Well, it's very simple. God tells us what His will is. Can we pray to be healed? Of course we can. God healed people all the time. If He does it for one, He'll do it for others. He can heal you. Okay, so we know it's in His will. Then we have to, what are we doing to get better? So let's say that you're weak. Let's say that you can't get around good, but you want to get better. Well, you have to start putting things into action. So maybe you start off and you start doing a little bit of exercise, what you can. Maybe you start eating better and trying to lose some weight so it's easier to get that mass moving around. Have a better diet so you have healthier nutrition that's going inside you to help fuel all those things that you're trying to accomplish. And then we put prayer onto this. God, I need to get better. God, help me with my program today. Help me to become stronger. Help me to move better. Help me to overcome my temptations to want to eat poorly. And all these things that we can work with God with to accomplish. And then we have to look at the outcome. The fellow that we talked about in the beginning of this, if he went to church one time and prayed to win the lottery and he won, do you think that's going to increase his relationship with God? Absolutely not. He is going to resort back and be the exact same person that he was before he ever stepped into the church. Because he went in there motivated to do one thing. Our motivation when we walk through the church doors should be one thing. And that one thing is to have a better and closer relationship with God. To let God teach us, lead us, instruct us, and to mold us into the people that He wants us to be. All the other problems that we have, all the things that we want to get resolved, all the desires of our hearts, that is a byproduct of having that number one thing taken care of, and having that personal relationship. So we have to look at that. What's it going to do if our prayers are answered? Is it going to bring us closer to God, or is it going to push us further away? God's not going to give you a brand new bass boat if you're going to take it on Sundays to go fishing. So, we have to have faith in all aspects of life. Now, we have opportunities that we can be foolish. God tells us not to tempt Him. So if you go on top of a 10-story building and you pray to God to save you and then you jump off, you've tempted God. If we act reckless and do life-threatening things, but we're asking God to keep us safe, and expecting His power to override our stupidity, that's not faith. It's a balance and working together. Now, humans are very judgy people. And you're going to say, oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're very judgy people. We all are. And sometimes we do it and we don't even realize it. And we throw things out there that applies in one situation, but really doesn't apply in another. God wants us to not live in fear. He wants us to not live in fear. So, we also have a lot of desires to do and experience different things in life. So if someone told you that they were going to go skydiving, a lot of people would say that's foolish. That's crazy. But you know, statistically, that there is not that many accidents that happen during the course of skydiving. That you actually have a much greater chance of being injured in an automobile accident than you do jumping out of an airplane. But yet we are quick to judge and say, don't do that. That's foolish. Even though in reality, it's not. If you ride a motorcycle, you're automatically painted as a foolish person. That you're putting your life in danger. But you know what? If you have a career in law enforcement, if you are carrying a belt full of weapons, for the fact of the matter that you might have to engage in some form of battle with a person, that you may have to invoke a high-speed chase, that you may have to go into a burning building. There's all of these levels of danger that can happen. They give you an earlier retirement and a higher pay incentive because it's considered high risk. Same thing for the guys that hang the power lines. You know, one false move and you touch the wrong thing, you are done. Game over. Firefighters, military. But it seems like when we attach a paycheck to it, then it's okay. Then it's okay. Well, they're just, someone has to do it, right? But it's being kind of hypocritical. And the fact of the matter is, life is dangerous. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. And there is so many different ways that we can become injured, dead, mangled, and we don't have to choose to do anything. A simple trip to the grocery store. How many times have we heard a story about a bachelorette or a bachelor party that had a slip and a fall and someone landing in the pool wrong that changed the scope of their life forever? People go on their honeymoon and one of them never come back. Not because they were doing anything that we would deem foolish. But just they were living life. People fall down their own front stairs. They slip in the bathroom. Your heart stops. You choke on food. We never know what's around that next corner. And for us to condemn people for their choices and how they decide to live life, and to live life in fear, that is not faith. There are certain things that I pray for each and every day, that some things we can pray one time and done, but some things need to be renewed. It needs to be prayed for that day. And then it renews the next day. So we go through that. And one thing is that I pray for the safety of my family. And so when I get a call that my daughter was in an accident, I'm like, hey, God, that's not what we talked about. But then God had to set me straight. Because even though she went through this event, she was relatively safe. There was no major damage done. Got checked out, sent home, a little sore, a little beat up, but safe. So I had to check myself a little bit and say, wait a second, God did what he was supposed to do. Just because he didn't do it in the way that I wanted it or the way I pictured it. So many times it's not even how we want it, it's just how we picture it. That safe means nothing. But it was actually a grander miracle it was a grander show of God's power when someone is in a horrendous situation and he plucks them out of it. He puts his protection around them. That's a lot grander. That's God showing out. That's God telling a story. And that's giving us something that we can share. That's further in the kingdom. There's the story of the talents, and there's the parable, and they talk about the three guys, and each one of them's given some money to take care of while the boss man's away. And the first one, he just hides his in the dirt. And the second one, he goes and he invests his and makes a bunch. And the third one, he goes and invests his and he makes not quite as much. He didn't have quite as much to work with as the first guy, but he did pretty good himself. So I may have reversed the order of that. I'm not. So when the boss man comes back, he says, "Hey, how do we do?" And guy number two says, "Hey, yeah, I made all this money. That's great. You did a good job. I'm proud of you." And guy number two said, "Hey, yeah, I took all this and I made this with it." And he's like, "Hey, yeah, you did a good job too, man." Then guy number one that didn't do anything but bury it in the backyard, he said, I got exactly what you gave me." And he's like, "Why do you have exactly what you gave me?" "Because I was afraid." That's what he said. He said, "I was afraid if I went and invested it, I was going to lose some." So, I got exactly what you had before. How many of us are in that position? How many of us stay in that position in life because we're afraid? Because we're afraid we don't do anything. Faith in action. The weapon of Satan is fear. Fear cancels out faith. Fear causes inaction. Uh-oh, we just slipped to the dark side. Didn't even mean to. We're going to have to account for everything that we do in life. And I wish that I started realizing some of the things that I know now a long time ago so I could have applied it. But I'm doing my best to hand down that information to the next generation so they can make wiser choices. We're going to stand before God. We're going to talk about all the things that we have done in this life. And there's going to be times that we mess up. There's going to be times that we fail. There's going to be times that we've done all these things. Well, what do you think God is going to be more disappointed with? That you tried, that you failed, that you showed action, that sometimes you got hurt, or that you let fear paralyze you and you did nothing? What kind of life is that when we live in a bubble, we've taken no chances, and we've accomplished nothing? There's a parable about this man. He's wandering around in the dark. He falls off the cliff. He reaches up. He grabs a tree root, and he's hanging there. And you don't know how long he can support himself. And there's no one around. He's called for help. And of course, what do we do with the last thing? We run out of options. He starts praying. And he says, "God, you've got to help me. There's no one else here. I'm going to fall to my death. And I got to get out of this situation." And God tells him, "Just let go. Just let go." And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He stayed there. He clinged to it. He clinged to it. He clinged to it. And God would tell him over and over again, just let go. But fear had such a strong grip on him that he could not pry his fingers from that branch. And pretty soon, daylight came. And when the sun came up and he could see and everything was bright, he looked down and he was only 2 feet off the ground. He spent an entire night in agony because he was in fear and wouldn't listen to God. How many times do we do that? How many times are we robbing ourselves of our own happiness because we are scared to make a move? We stay in a place that we don't like. We stay in a job we don't like. We do things we don't want to do because we're scared to make a move. We're scared to let go. Even when we consult God and God is screaming to us, let go, let go. And we don't. We cling to that branch. We can't have faith and we can't have fear. And we can't have a faith that is false. You can call it whatever you want. You can say you have faith. You can do all of these things. But until you put it into action. And that's why the action part of it is so important. Because words are just words. How many times have we said we're going to do something? I'm going to build this. I'm going to donate this. I'm going to start this organization. We talk about all these things, but it never gets past that talking point. And for many of us, it's because we don't have that belief, that faith strong enough to take those initial steps. Let go of that branch.